day it is. Praise the Lord. We're thankful that you've come out today and are allowing us, Thomas Village, which is not a building but a people that God has called together. We're thankful that you've allowed us to be a part of your worship today. Those of you that's in the parking lot, those of you that's here in-house with us, also those of you that's watching us by Facebook Live, it's good to be with you today. Scripturally wise, we're going to be in the book of Matthew chapter 28 and 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Matthew 28, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and let's come together and worship the Lord this morning.
Good morning again. Welcome to Thomas Village Baptist Church. I was reading some Proverbs this morning, and Proverbs tells us that as you think, so you are. So I don't know what's on your mind today. It may be cumbersome. You may be loaded and burdened with a problem or an issue, but I know who has an answer for it. And it's not me. It's not Pastor Brian. It's not the deacons. It's our Lord and Savior, Jesus.
Amen.
He has an answer. But if he gives us an answer, we have to listen. We might not have to agree with it. We probably usually don't sometimes. But when he gives us an answer, yes, no, or later, or never, then we have to abide with that. If you would, turn to 243. And this comes from 2 Corinthians. And God of love and peace will be with you. And that's this song's theme. 243, Sweet, Sweet Spirit. Welcome you, and so thankful you're here today. It's a messy day right now, raining coming down, so remember those that aren't here for whatever reason, those that are sick, those that need your touch. And I got a text from a distant cousin that lives in Indiana, and he has a son that has a tumor on the brain. His name is Nathan Bowen, and if you would lift him up this week in prayer, And there's many others that are on a prayer list, numbered, I think. How many on that prayer list, Pastor Brian? 190-something?
Yeah, hold on just a second. I'll tell you real quick.
But,
191.
So there's 192 now if you put Nathan on there. But also remember those away from us in school. Some of them are almost fastened down. They can't leave the campus. They can't go visit down the hall. Our grandson is at West Point, and he can only visit with his roommate. He can't visit anywhere down the hall with his company, friends, or nothing. He can't go off campus. So it's really taxing for those that are bound on campuses and can't come home even for Thanksgiving. So remember them when you pray. But we're just thankful you're here today. We're thankful that God has blessed us this week with another week. And we're looking forward to tomorrow.
Amen.
As I said in the scriptures, the Bible proverb says you are what you think. And if you could take each of our thoughts right now and record them and share them through this building, we might be surprised what some people are thinking and how you feel. But, you know, it doesn't matter how we feel. It don't change God's word. You don't have to agree with it, but it don't change it. So just continue to pray for our nation, our president. He is still our president, and he will be our president. And we are thankful that I've never seen someone with so much stamina and determination. My dad used to tell me I was a stubborn child, a stubborn boy. I wanted to do things different than he did, farming. And he would say no a lot of times. But anyway, our president has a stickability, and I'm thankful he does. So just continue to pray for him and our nation. And if the election goes the other way, then so be it. We have to live with it. But we don't have to like it, but we have to live with it. That's what our people have chosen. But just pray for each other this week. As I said, it's not only students away from home or other people away from home that are feeling the stress of all this. And we're going to go into winter, and we're going to be housed up more and inside more and go visit less. And just call upon those around you don't see here today. Just check on them.
And with that being said, I know that many of y'all have heard that the governor has reissued a mandate concerning groups of people over 25 and different things like that. And some were concerned about how that would affect the church, specifically Thomas Village. One, we're okay to meet as long as we're doing what we're doing right now. We are under in accordance with what the governor has put out there, and the way we've got things cleaned up and divided here in church, you can feel free to come inside here. One, you're not breaking the law, but also, two, we're doing our best to keep you safe and healthy, and we're thankful that you're coming out, helping us keep the gears going here at Thomas Village Baptist. Thank you, Brother Ogan.
Thank you, Pastor. So just remember that we are within the law. We're less than 50%. We're wearing masks. We're using protection. So we want to continue to do that as long as we need to. But, again, I know it's stressful at home and here in our families. Also, I need to announce that we have a deacon's meeting tomorrow night at 6 o'clock in the pastor's office. So if you're a deacon, please try to be there. And is there any other thing I need to announce, Pastor?
Operation Christmas Child pickup this week from beginning today, or is it tomorrow, Bro Paul?
Tomorrow.
Beginning tomorrow from 3 to 5. Am I right?
Yeah.
For the next week.
3 to 5, Shoebox Ministries is they're called. A Christmas Child Drive for shoeboxes that go, I was telling the brother earlier, they go around the world. You may put something in there that would be good for a kid in Jamaica, but it may go to Alaska. So we don't know where it goes. But when it leaves here, it goes somewhere or other. And you could track yours if you chose to do that. But anyway, they're due this week. And Brother Paul and others will be here 3 to 5 this week coming. So with all that said, if there's no other... Yes, ma'am. And he's been, his aunt has been posting stuff on Facebook about Zachary. And he was involved in a four-wheeler accident Thursday. And he has some brain bleed, but he's doing some better, but he still has to be guarded. And he's not out of the hospital yet. We don't know when he will be or what he'll have to do or go through, but just remember him, the seventh grader at Rycove Intermediate. I guess Miss Tammy, does he ride your bus? And you get attached to those. And I know you do. I drove a bus 17 years, and I got attached to some of them too much in the wrong ways. But just remember Zachary and his family, his mom and dad, and his mama and papa, Bowen. They live up toward where Brother Danny lives in Cliff Mountain. But remember that family as well. Any other announcements or requests? Okay, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this day, for giving us another day, for watching over us and providing for us, giving our the breath that we even take to say the prayer, giving us life and strength and the provisions you give us every day of food, shelter, and clothing and ability to go about. And we just pray, Lord, for our church family, those that can be here, and thank you for those, and those that can't be here, Lord, and we just ask you in this time, it's very difficult on every one of us, that you see us through it, and you tell us in your word that you will, that you'll never leave us, you'll never forsake us. We forsake you many times, Lord. We disown you. We could speak up to a lost person, and we fail to do that because we're basically saying we're ashamed to do it. But Father, you know our hearts. You know how much you love us, and we know how much you love us, and we need to love you back, and we need to love each other, our church family. And Father, we just ask you to be with our nation, our leaders, our president, the cabinet. Lord, with all that is going on, just you sort it out, Lord. You're the problem solver. We just bring problems to you and cast them upon you, and it's what you tell us to do. Cast our every care upon you. Sometimes we can't handle our cares. We don't know what to do or say, but you do. And we're thankful that you are an all-knowing, all-loving, all-powerful God. Nothing's above you. Nothing's beneath you. You know all things, Lord, the Bible says. And so with that, we just trust you to do what you need to do in our lives, in our church family's lives, in our nation, with our president, with the people in our nation. But most of all, we just pray, Lord, for those that are on our prayer list, and there's a lot on there that are lost in my family, in others' families, our neighbors, our friends are lost. We don't know who's lost. You do. All we can account for is ourselves. But Father, we just want you to continue to put upon those people's hearts with your Holy Spirit, with circumstances, with your word, and with other people speaking good things into their lives, that they might be convicted of their sins and turn from you, turn to you and away from sin and away from the world. And Father, I know that's a lot of requests we've made, but we know you're all-powerful and you can do it. We just thank you for our congregation today, and we ask you to be with those on Facebook that need your touch, and for those, Lord, that need salvation. And we just thank you for hearing our prayers and loving us. We pray for our pastor as he comes and stands and teaches and preaches this morning, and that it'll be a message that we can take to heart, and we can take it this week and apply it. We ask each blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
If you have a book, if you would turn to number 387, and we'll sing, and you can stand if you want, or you can sit wherever you, which way you're comfortable. 387. Blessed be the tithe.
Blessed be.
Again, good morning. It's good to be with all of you. I pray that you have come expecting to meet with God today. I pray that that's your heart's desire. And not only that, as you're turning to the book of Matthew, chapter 28, Matthew 28, and then also 1 Corinthians chapter 9, I pray that you brought something to give to the Lord, whether it be your worship, maybe a offering of raising your hands to the glory of His name. Not that you feel like doing all these things, but that He's deserving of this. And that we should come every time we have the opportunity to come. And I'm tell you, I thank God that we have the opportunity to come together. And we need to be using it as much as possible. Some, I think, have come to the point now to where again, I'm thankful for everybody that comes out, and I know that there's you have to make your own decisions, but you need to use the gift we have of public assembly and public worship together because we have it, and we're not told how much longer we could have it, and we better use it while we can and make much of it while we can. So we're thankful to be here today. I'm thankful you're here today. Thankful to be an American as we remember veterans. But as you're turning to the book of Matthew 28 and 1 Corinthians chapter 9, if you don't remember anything else about today's service, I pray that you, through the Holy Spirit, remember these three things. One, nobody loves you like Jesus. Two, nobody's done so much for you as Jesus. And three, if you'll let Him today, He'll do even greater things than you can ever imagine. Praise God, our plans as you're turning to Matthew 28 and 1 Corinthians chapter 9 kind of got detoured this week. We were supposed to have a baptism on Friday, and then we're going to show that baptism this morning. But some sickness came up, and we're learning how to minister, when you can minister during the time of COVID. And so we're looking forward to maybe getting that baptism done this week as well. But I pray that if nothing else today, that you just come expecting Jesus to move through the person of the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to ask if you would to stand with me today in honor of God's Word. We'll begin in Matthew chapter 28, beginning in verse 18, and then we'll flip over to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. If I had a title for this morning's message, it would be Evangelism Now More Than Ever. Evangelism Now More Than Ever. I'm going to just tell you like I told you last Sunday. Remember last Sunday, I think it was when we looked at the resurrection of the widow's son at Nain. And we saw, kind of getting back to the basics, that Christ is active in our life. If we have opened our life to Him, then He's active. He's in control, praise God. And really what we talked about last week, you weren't going to learn any brand new theological truths. And the same is true today. You're probably not going to hear anything new. But we're in some times now, which a lot of people don't know what to do. You know the old saying, what do you do when you don't know what to do? Well, the Bible tells us do what we know to do. And so today, basically, what we're doing is we're just, as we live in a changing world, we're going to stand on some unchanging truths as we look at these things. So today, evangelism, now more than ever. You know this passage over in Matthew 28, beginning in verse 18. And Jesus came and said unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. This is known as the great what?
The Great Commission. Then let's jump over to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning in verse 16. Notice what it says here. This is Paul writing, "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory about. For necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me, what is my reward then? Verily or truly, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel." Evangelism, now more than ever. How many of you ever went to a church where they would sing on Sunday the doxology? Y'all remember that? How about you join in with me right now and let's sing it, okay? Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him all creatures here below. Praise Him above ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer as you're being seated. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, in Jesus' name, God, it is a good day to be in your house. It's a good day to be with your people. And Heavenly Father, Lord, I am so thankful that you've given us this day and this privilege to be together. So I just confess to you today my sinfulness and my inability, Heavenly Father, Lord. I plead the blood of Jesus and I claim the power of the cross through the person of the Holy Spirit. I ask you, Lord, to teach today, Lord, not that I'm able, but that your Spirit is able and your Word is able. God, I pray today that those that be watching us over Facebook or listening outside, that the day be the day that their life is changed in a way that they'll never forget because of the truth and the power of your Scripture. And God, today we ask you to be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Evangelism now more than ever. And again, this is just going to be like in a world full of topsy-turvy times and unclear directions. What are we as believers supposed to do? Well, last week what we looked at is we saw that Jesus is to be the utmost in our life. No matter what's going on around us, no matter what's happening. How many of you has ever heard anagram or something like that to the word joy? If you want to have true joy, what do? You put Jesus first, others second, and yourself last, and then you'll experience. And so today, what I want to talk about is I want to talk about evangelism. Do you know that the word evangelize or evangelism is nowhere in Scripture? Now, there is the term evangelist, and we'll talk about that in just a second. But a few weeks ago, back over at the end of September 27th, I think it was, about 38 days ago, do you remember the title of the sermon was this, the Resurrection, not just for Easter anymore. You remember that? And in that, we basically came down, and I think this is the most important question in life is, what will you do with Jesus? And no matter what you believe about Jesus, no matter what you think about His ministry, the most important question that has to be answered about Christ Jesus is either He did not die on the cross and raise in 3 days, or either He did die on the cross and raise in 3 days. When we stand before God on creation, that's going to be the only question that matters. If Jesus did not rise on the third day, then all that we know, this Christianity and the religious practices and principles that we go by, all of it's worthless. It's empty. If Jesus didn't rise, then Christianity is one of the most vicious, deceitful, and elaborate hoaxes of all time. Just mean thinking about those that have died expecting to meet Jesus and all that goes along with that. But what we know today is this. He did rise from the grave. And so not only is it not a vicious or deceitful hoax, but it is, as the resurrection of Jesus Christ, it is the most miraculous, sensational, natural law defying event in all of human history. It is so fabulous, so amazing, that everybody that's ever been born needs to hear the truth of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen? No matter the situation, Jesus is greater than whatever I face. And no matter the individual, they need to hear that Jesus loves them more than they can imagine. Amen? And you know what? That can get you excited, can it? When you think about the resurrection, I preached that sermon when I went down to Georgia and was at Dad's pastor appreciation. And during that week, some of their members that had been over to Jerusalem sent me pictures of themselves standing at the tomb, and it's still empty. They would send me that. And that is just encouraging. But today, think about this. That's been 38 days ago. Since then, there's been an election, which many don't like the outcome. There's been a spike of COVID, not only in our local area, but also nationally. There's been a Supreme Court judge appointed. School started, school stopped, and school's about to start again. And then not to mention all the personal issues that you've went through. All the little issues, all the mini storms and all that that's gone on. So let me ask you a question today. In the past 38 days, how much has Jesus been the topic of your conversation? If we laid it all out, politics, national issues, Jesus, if it was a pie chart today, how much would Jesus have? 25% of the time? 30% of the time? But you see today, that's what the devil does. You see, 38 days ago we heard a message about the resurrection and it excited us, but then what's happened, we get back into society and we lose focus again. Our eyes get off of Jesus. Our eyes get on what's going on around us. We don't know what to do in the midst of the situation. And so that's why, as pastor, I feel like it's my duty to bring us back to what we're to focus on. Praise God, when everything isn't going your way, you know what we're to do? We're to press on in Jesus' name. And if we're going to press on in Jesus' name, then we got to know what to do when we don't know what's going on. Amen. And last week, this week, how, praise God, it's time for us to realize the need to tell the world around us about Jesus and His love for them. And that soon and very soon He is coming again. And He's going to get His people. And those that die without having a relationship with Him will be doomed to spend an eternity in hell's flames. You see, that's the devil wants to keep us preoccupied. He doesn't want, you know why he doesn't want that message? Because it is the most miraculous, natural law-defying event in human history, and it changed the course of human history for everyone who would receive Him. That's why the devil doesn't want you to be excited about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He doesn't want you to be excited about coming to church on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights. He wants you to get caught up in the COVID and the election and all these other things. But praise God, today we need to focus on that Jesus is alive and Jesus is still saving souls, and that at any moment He could come again, and it's up to us to tell others about Him. In these passages, Matthew chapter 28 there in verse 18 and following, and then over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, these four or five verses, and also elsewhere in Scripture, we see the command for evangelism is laid out. Go ye into all the world and make disciples. Evangelism or evangelize is not in the New Testament. It's not used. Now the term evangelist is over in Acts chapter 21 verse 8, Ephesians chapter 4 verse 11, and 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 5, it says, Paul tells the young pastor Timothy, but as for you, be serious about everything and do hardship, do the work of the evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. So what is evangelize? What does it mean to do the work of an evangelist? What does it mean to go out into all the world and make disciples? To evangelize is simply this: to instruct in the good news. To teach of the gospel of Jesus Christ in an effort to convert others to believing in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. To do the work of evangelists is simply this, to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. I think one of the reasons why the word evangelize or evangelism is not in the word is because what it is we're to be evangelists. Every one of us that have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, it is our duty now for us to tell others about Jesus so that they'll come. I mean, we even have it in our title. How many of you have heard the phrase evangelical Christian? According to the teachings of the Bible or to the Christian religion. And it's our duty, Christian, for us to share the gospel. Listen there in Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. Jesus came near and He says, "All authority has been given to Me on heaven and earth. Go therefore," meaning to as you go or as you are living your life, driving a bus, working at the grocery store, teaching in school, whatever you're doing, whatever your labor title is, whether it be blue collar, welding, or a white collar, working in an office, that is not how you're defined. That is simply the area in which God has called for you to serve. Your first calling is as a Christian. And in the midst of that, it is our duty to spread the good news as we go. Notice this. I want you to see, other than the ascension that Luke records over in Acts chapter 1, this here in Matthew chapter 28, the Great Commission, these are some of the final words that Jesus would speak as He wrapped up His ministry here. But like I said, we know that evangelism is taught in Scripture. We know that many of us try to disqualify ourselves by saying, "I've not been given the gift of an evangelist," right? But yet every one of us are sheep. And the sheep's job is to make more sheep. That's what we do. Listen to what he says, what Paul says, talking about the gospel. "For I," and I'm reading now out of the Christian Standard over in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. "For if I preach the gospel, I have no reason to boast, because I am compelled to preach." The word in the King James is, "There is a necessity upon me." But what Paul is saying is that there is a compulsion, or is there is an obligation on my life to tell the good news of Jesus Christ. I want to just ask you this right now. Jesus Christ came so that the lost could be saved. Amen? He came to die on the cross so sinners could find salvation. Amen? His heart was compelled, or it drove Him to act on behalf of the sinner to be saved. Let me ask you this right now. How much in your life do you feel an obligation to tell others about Jesus? Do you feel a burden? I'm going to be honest with you. I don't feel it like I know I should, and I don't feel it like I once have. What does that say? Could that mean I'm not where I need to be with the Lord? That's exactly right, because Jesus came to see sinners saved. When we're right with Jesus, then we're going to want to see sinners saved. When we're distant from Jesus, guess what? We're not going to think about them. We're going to push them to the back of our minds. Why? Because it burns us and it hurts us if we're truly Christ Jesus. Notice he says, there's a compulsion, there's an obligation. I'm compelled to preach. And woe, or let there be curses upon me if I don't. He says, for if I do it willingly, I receive my reward. But if I don't do it willingly, that means that there has been a commission. Or basically that means there's a set of plans that come from a higher office concerning my life. That's what Paul's saying. Paul's saying, I have the obligation to preach the Word of God. I have the obligation to evangelize and to tell others, just like each and every one of us do. And he says, if I do it joyfully and willingly, then praise God, I find my reward in that. But if I do it unwillingly, meaning that there's times he don't feel like telling others about Jesus. There's times he don't feel like making a direct advance for the cause in the name of Jesus Christ. But he said, I do it anyway. Why? Because a higher power has another set of plans than what I feel today. Amen? And that's the same as us today. If we're Christians, if we know Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, then we have His heart and His mind through the person of the Holy Spirit, and that we should want to see people saved. We should have a desire. We should have that obligation or that pull like Paul's talking about. That even when we don't feel like it, we know that we have to. Why? Because it's about somebody's soul. It's about somebody's soul. So let's think about this today. If we're going to evangelize, which is our duty, but if we're distant from God, if we've backslidden, then we know that we're not doing it because we're not where we need to be. So how do we get back to the point of being an effective evangelist for the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, the first thing we've got to do is we've got to get a fresh focus. Why didn't the Lord, on the day that you and I got saved, whatever day it was that you prayed the sinner's prayer and Christ moved into your life and you became a new creature, why didn't God just go ahead right then and take you on to glory? Huh? Why didn't he do it? You want to tell you why? Because he's got a job for you here. And before we can become the evangelist we need to be, we have to have a fresh focus on the need for evangelism. Listen to this. God left us here. Why are we left here? Number one, God has a job for us while we're here on earth to live for and to honor our Creator. You know that? After we get saved, our job is to live for and to honor our Creator. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whether you do, do everything for God's glory. That's who we are. As the creation, we are to glorify and live for our Creator, whether it's Adam or to the last man or last woman. Every one of us was created to honor and live for the one who made us. Amen? And so that means every day, especially now that we're in a right relationship with Him, that we should want to honor and live for Him. The next thing is this. Why did God leave you here after He saved you? One, to honor and live for Him. Number two, to build a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ. Did you know that? Every day that we're here on this side of the dirt, on top of dirt, is a day for us to grow deeper in love with Jesus. Philippians chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. My goal is to know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death, assuming that I will somehow reach the resurrection from among the dead. Every day, isn't that what Adam and Eve did in the garden? They walked with God on a daily basis. They had an intimate relationship with God. It's still not changed. We're to live for Him and honor Him. We're to grow deeper in our relationship with Him. And then lastly, we're to bring others to Him. We're to bring others to Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. I am obligated, or I am indebted both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, to the wise, to the unwise. So I am eager to preach the good news to you also, to those of you who are in Rome. Why are we still here, Christian, after we got saved? Because we're to live and honor our God. We're to grow deeper in our relationship with our God. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, through the gospel of Jesus Christ, we're to bring others to our God. But many of us, we take it for granted that we live in the Bible Belt. And that everybody around us just knows something. Can I tell you something today? It's not like it used to be. Everybody in little Johnny's class at school or little Susie's class at school, they wasn't brought up in Sunday school. They don't know the stories of Jonah and Daniel in the lion's den. What we take for granted, that was just a part, and even on TV when we were younger, people don't know it anymore. They don't know that Christmas is about Jesus' birthday. You can't just reference off to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and expect people to know it. No, the gospel is not out there like it once was. There's more means of communication than there's ever been, but there's less of the gospel. Why? Because we assume somebody else is going to get the job done. You assume that the pastor's going to get the job done. The pastor assumes that the deacon's going to tell somebody about Jesus. The deacons assume that it's the pew member's job. And nobody's telling other people about Jesus, and people's dying and going to hell. Not all of us around us has a grandmama that they hear praying for them or that makes them go to church when they spend the night at their house. In fact, today the idea of Christianity has been hijacked and sidetracked. We've made it about what you do. We've made Jesus the big man upstairs, peace, love, and chicken grease, all that mess. The preacher has made himself a joke and a laughing stock. There's no mention of godly living or separated living anymore. Politics, we use it as a lever. If you want to be a good Republican and you want to be a good Democrat, then you've got to be a Christian. It's mixed in our culture. How much like the world can we look like, sound like, and still be a Christian? Basically, being a Christian today is whatever you say what a Christian is. And how dare us question that, right? True Christians are being made out to be ignorant now. If you live for Jesus, thank you. If you live for Jesus, and you believe that Jesus rode on the third day, and you believe that He's coming back again, you know what? And you believe in the Ten Commandments, you know what? You're viewed as ignorant. We're viewed as being behind the times. We're anti-progress. We're hate-filled bigots. And we're standing in the way of a greater, bigger America. That's what will happen if you stand up for Jesus. Christianity is not politically correct, but see, we got to catch that fresh look. We had to catch the fresh look at our purpose as a Christian. Amen? But then also, there's some other things we need to catch a fresh look at. We need to catch a fresh look at Jesus. In John chapter 3, verses 14 through 16, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in Him will have eternal life. For God so loved the world that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have ever. Can you imagine that today? Think about that right now. That your Creator loved you enough to come and interfere with your destination. He loved you enough to come put Himself in your shoes. He took the mocking and the spitting and the blows to His face. And He did all that. Why? Because He wasn't willing to let you die and go to hell. And praise God, I don't care who you are today watching. Jesus loved you enough that He came and He laid down His life. Why? Because He's not willing to let you go without a fight. He's not willing to show the world that you're important to Him. He's not willing to let you die and go to hell unless you choose to die and go to hell today. Glory, hallelujah, we need a fresh look at Jesus. I'm going to tell you what, we need a revival. I mean, I'm talking about Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. We need to have a revival. I'm getting sick of this social distancing stuff. I've been thinking about having it monthly. First Sunday, second Sunday, third Sunday. I'll get different preachers in here. And we'll do our best to have some type of revival. But we need it. Why? I almost preached a sermon. I preached it last year out of that passage, but you remember the leper said, "Why sit we here and die? Thomas Village, are we resigned to do what the government's telling us to do and to stay in our place and just sit there until we die? Or are we going to be willing to stand up for Jesus and to shout His glory and do what we can do while we can do it in Jesus' name?" Whoa, that's good preaching. That is. Not because I'm doing it. Matter of fact, my body don't want to do it, if you can tell. But praise God, we got to get a fresh look at Jesus. But not only that, Christian, member of Thomas Village, we got to catch a fresh look at hell. One of the first sermons I ever preached here was when the last time you thought about hell. That's been almost 4 years ago. Listen at these scriptures. Mark chapter 9, verses 47 through 48. "And if your eyes causes your downfall, gouge it out. It is better for you to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than to have two eyes and to be thrown in hell, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched." The word hell here is Gehenna, meaning the valley of Hinnom, which is basically a trash dump outside the gates of Jerusalem. And there in that valley, they constantly kept fires burning. Why? To burn up the trash. And I'm not the one saying this, but it's Scripture. God, Christ Jesus, looks at hell
as a trash pit, a waste. The Bible says that it was created for Satan and his messengers. But if we reject Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we choose to damn ourselves to the trash pit of hell. And listen, it says where the worm dies not, that worm there is a maggot, because those that die without Jesus Christ will not get a new body. They're going to die in that flesh. They're going to die with their cancer. They're going to die with their addictions. And for an eternity, not only will there be hell's flame where it says that the fire is not quenched, but we'll continue to live in that sickly, death-ridden body forever and ever and ever and ever. Listen, this one really catches my attention. It's out of Revelation chapter 14, verses 10 and 11. It says this, "And he will be tormented with fire and sulfur in the sight of the holy angels, in the sight of the Lamb." Listen, "and the smoke of their torment will go up forever and ever." Now specifically, he's talking about those that worship the beast and the Antichrist here. But the end is the same for all who reject Jesus. Listen what it says. Our loved ones, our friends and our family, their bodies will be kindling in the flames of hell, and that their cries of torment, "Have mercy on me, just a drop of water." Think about how smoke comes up off a fire and bellows. It says that their torment will be as that smoke. And for an eternity, it will bellow and bellow and blow like a smokestack that you see out on the side of a hill with their torments. You see, today we've got to get a fresh focus on our purpose. We're created to live for Him and to honor Him. We're created to grow deeper in our relationship with Him. And we were created to bring others to Him. We got to get a fresh look at who Jesus is and how much He loves us and how awesome He is as a Creator and a God, and that the Creator would choose to identify Himself as His creation for the rest of eternity. Oh, we've got to catch a fresh look at hell and that it is real, and that there are people plunging headlong into it as we speak. And at any given moment, it can be our loved one. It could be one of those 192. And then we've got to catch a glimpse at our responsibility. I'm not going to reread this, but he says, "Go into all the world." Paul says, "I got a burden on me. There's an obligation in my life." Who are you influencing for the kingdom right now? Who is God put in your life right now that you're doing your best to see? If you have anything to do with it, they're not going to die and go to hell. Preachers, now we have our top tens, you know what I mean? We get this. But you know what? You ought to have your top ten. Let me ask you this right now. How many of you just woke up one day and said, "I think I'll get saved"? No, a lot of you were raised up with godly parents. Had godly aunts and uncles. Had friends and co-workers that they would tell you about Jesus and all that. Let me read y'all some names right here. Randall and Edie, Bobby Russell, Ronnie Owens, Billy Flynn, John Sasser, John and Ann Gray, Ralph Ramey, and those are just a few that had a part in my salvation. But I remember God using them. And how do you think God's going to do it in other people's lives? He wants to use you. How many of y'all ever remember an old song? It's called 15. If it takes 15 times. It's by Chris Long. It's an old contemporary song. Well, basically, there was a study, and on average, I don't know how they did it, but basically, it took 15 witness attempts before someone comes to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And the song is about whether I be the first, the third, the seventh, or the 15th, I just don't know. But if it takes 15, I'm willing to say 15. Let me ask you right now. If you're not going to tell them about Jesus,
If you're not going to be concerned with their eternity, then who will? If you're not telling them Jesus loved them and died for them, who's telling them? That's right, because we assume so-and-so is, and so-and-so assumes we are. When the Bible says, go and make disciples. And so now we've took a fresh look at our purpose. We've took a fresh look at our Savior, at our duty, and on the eternal damnation. So now that we've been revived, or we've given a fresh look, now we have to have a fresh course of action. The first thing that we're going to do, if we're going to be a soul winner today, is we've got to become a pupil of Scripture. We've got to become a student of Scripture. Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, does that mean that I'm going to be walking all around and I'm going to be preaching and quoting Scriptures everywhere I go? No. But as a Christian, I recognize that His truth is what actually changes lives. I recognize that His truth doesn't care how I feel or how anybody else feels. It's going to be true no matter what happens. And that means that I need to let that truth dictate how I interact with others. It needs to be the supreme part that they get from my life, is that there are absolute truths, and that if you live these absolute truths, you will know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And we recognize this, that knowing truth, being able to quote truth, is a whole lot different from living out truth and having the power of truth in your life. We will become students of Scriptures. But not only that, if we're going to be evangelistic, we're going to become prayer warriors. Romans 10:1, brothers, my heart desire and the prayer to God is for their salvation. I can testify about them that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, the Lord does not delay His promises as some understand delay, but is patient with you, not wanting that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Those happen to be the verses that we claim for our Tuesday morning prayer group. How does it change lives? How does praying for people lead them to Jesus? I don't know, but I'm told this. James chapter 5, verse 16 says that the prayers of those that are in right standing with God accomplishes a lot. John chapter 14, verse 13. John chapter 15, verse 16. John chapter 16, verse 23 tells me this, that when I ask my Father anything in the name of Jesus that is for His glory and for His good, He'll give it to me. So why do I pray? Because I know the Bible says that truth can change lives. I'm told that praying for people changes their lives. So what do I do? If I'm going to be an evangelist, I'm going to be a pupil of Scripture, and I'm going to be a prayer warrior. And can I tell you this? Can I tell you this? If you're a pupil of Scripture and a prayer warrior, then that means you're probably close to Jesus and you're going to have a burden for the lost. Today, if you're not reading your Bible and you're not praying like you should, I'd say you don't have a burden for the lost like you should. Amen? That's just the truth. You see, what do we do when we don't know what to do? We do what we know to do. Amen? There's certain things we're to do, no matter what it looks like around us. Okay, so what? New plan of action. We're going to be students of the Word. We're going to be prayer warriors. And you know what? We're going to have a plan. I think this goes without saying, but you know that our God is not a willy-nilly, do-it-by-the-seat-of-your-pants type God. He's not. He is a God of structure and organization. Creation, 6 days, took one day off, seventh. Amen? Look how nature works. It has a plan and an order. That's what science is. It's the study of nature. It's the study of how the plan works. And then there's death and the resurrection. You remember it says, before the foundation of the world, Jesus was crucified. But He had a right time. And then the rapture, the resurrection, and the end times, all that's by plan. What does that mean? That means we're not to be willy-nilly either as we go. You know that? We need to have a plan to win people to the Lord. Amen? That's what the Romans road is. And you know what? There's about two different ways that we can choose to be evangelists. There's the direct way. And that's what we do on visitation. We gather up together. We go knock on doors.
We meet people and then basically we let them know we came here because we're concerned about your soul. We don't want you to die and go to hell. That's what we do. Sometimes when I'm out eating or when I'm out with people, the Lord puts it on my heart and I put it. But I go into any situation, Lord, if there be someone today to witness to, you let me know it. But then there's the indirect. That's kind of like what we do up at Hope. You know what I mean? We'll provide a meal. We'll give somebody homeless a couple dollars. You see, that's indirect. We're not preaching to them and beating them over the head, but we're loving them in Jesus' name. We're able to say, Jesus loves you and so do I, and we give them a $5 bill or something like that. But one way or another, directly or indirectly, we have to be mindful of sharing the love and the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because see, we are pupils of the Word. We're prayer warriors. We have a plan, whether directly or indirectly. Amen. But then there's one more thing we got to do. We got to proceed in His power. We got to do it. Listen at this. Anything worth putting off is worth abandoning altogether. Epicurus. The road to hell is paved with good intentions. Sister Abbot of St. Bernard in Clairvaux. The only difference between success and failure is the ability to take action. Alexander Graham Bell. Procrastination is the natural enemy to success. And you will never be successful in evangelism until you're willing to be an evangelist. Until you say directly, whether it be visitation or telling a friend or a co-worker straight about Jesus Christ, or whether I'm going to ask them out to lunch, indirectly I'm going to pray a blessing over our meal or whatever. But until you say I'm going to do it, you'll never lead somebody to the Lord. You've got to act. And here's the thing. We've got a fresh focus on our purpose. We've got a fresh focus on our Lord. Our duty. A fresh focus on hell. Now we've got a fresh plan of action. We're studying God's Word. We're praying for people to be saved. We've come up with a plan. And now we're going to proceed with it. And then lastly, you know what we got? We got to firmly reject the enemy's excuses. Firmly reject. Number one, the devil's going to come against you tomorrow when you say, I'm going to tell somebody about Jesus. And he's going to throw some nevers at you. The Lord will never use you because of your deep, dark sin. How could you ever think you could tell somebody about what it means to be right with God when you yourself ain't even right with God? You see, there's going to be those nevers and God would never and different all that. But the first thing we have to do is we stand in victory in Jesus. Everything you might say, devil, might have a grain of truth in it, but this does too. For I am crucified with Christ, and never yet I live. But it is not I that live, but it's Christ that lives within me. And the life that I live today, I live by power of the Holy Spirit that lives within me. I am not that man anymore, enemy. I stand firmly in the victory of the cross of Jesus Christ. Again, we reject his nevers. Do you really think that you telling this person Jesus loves them is really going to make a difference? I'm told that His name always makes a difference. Throw away those nevers. You think Jesus could never put my marriage back together. Jesus could never use me for His glory. Jesus could never use me to teach a class. Listen at this. Abraham, a lying, impatient adulterer. Jacob, a tricky and deceiving con man. Moses was a killer which had a bad temper with a speech impediment. David was a shepherd that God made royalty, who ultimately became an adulterous, murdering king and a bad father. Simon Peter, a loudmouth, fast-acting deserter. Paul, previously Saul, a crazy religious terrorist using intimidation, personal injury, and murders for an advancement. And those are the ones Jesus chose to use. Those are the ones that advanced the gospel. Peter, after he ran away from Jesus, had his most difficult time. And 50 days later, Jesus said, I'm going to use you. And the Holy Spirit fell on Peter, and he preached, and 3,000 got saved. You see, don't get those nevers out of there. The only thing that we should allow in our life that has the word never in it is we should never stop making much of our Savior. Whenever anything comes up, I'm going to tell you this. Jesus first, others second, yourself last. Evangelism, now more than ever. You know you're seeing some things that line up with the Word. Even those of you that may not be real religious, but you're seeing things in this world and you're thinking, it sure can't go on much further. You know what? That's Jesus speaking to you today. I talked to you just a second ago about a song called 15 by Greg Long. And like I said, I don't know the scale for which they did it, but basically the higher, smarter than me up there in Nashville and SBC and Lifeway and all them, they did it. And basically they said 15 times at least before someone, meaning that some come to know Jesus the first time they're ever told about Jesus. Others going to be told 300 times and they'll never come. But listen what this says. I was sitting at a table as the waitress took our order. In her eyes, I knew that something wasn't right. And before I saw it coming, I was caught up in her story of storms that she had weathered in her life. My friend said, "Can we pray for you?" She said, "I think I'd like that." She walked away and we bowed our heads. But then he turned to me and said, "If it takes 15 times to hear about Jesus for someone to believe, wherever I stand in line, I've got to make a difference in case it comes down to me. Because I may be the third, I may be the seventh, there may be years in between, but what if I'm the 15th? But what if I'm the 15th? Just a chapter in a story with the ending still unwritten. Do they find the truth of Jesus after all? As I listen for the whispers and I follow where they lead me, I pray that I'll be faithful to the call. If I am who I'm supposed to be, I know that God can work through me. I may not understand it now, but I believe somehow. God, I don't want to miss the chances. When you open the door, what may seem so insignificant, you see as so much more. If it takes 15 times to hear about Jesus for someone to believe, wherever I stand in line, I'm going to make a difference in case it comes down to me. Because I may be the third, I may be the seventh. There may be years in between. But what if I'm the 15th? One day God put somebody in your life, and at that moment, His wisdom and love and salvation shined in your life because somebody was willing to say, "I'll play my part in whatever it means for another one to know Jesus." Today, there are people in your lives that God has placed there that He expects for you to influence them positively for His kingdom. Maybe they need to become a Christian. Maybe they're already a Christian, but they're scared to live it in the situation and they need somebody to come up along beside them. Maybe there's others that's already Christians and they need you to help mentor them. Today, go ye into all the world. Preach the gospel. We are all evangelists. We all have been saved by Christ and we're in debt to others. As the hungry person, when they find food, they go find another hungry poor person and say, "Come and share in what I have." Today, that's who we are. But if we're going to do it, we've got to recognize our purpose. As our piano player and song leader comes, we've got to catch a fresh look at Jesus. We've got to have a plan and we've got to live out that plan. But today, here's the invitation. One, do you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior? If you don't today, more than anything else, I pray that today be the day. And I would love to show. I'm not talking about you becoming a member here at Thomas Village or anything like that. Believe you me, we just want to know that you know Jesus. If you don't, post it on Facebook, call me, call one of our deacons. Maybe today you need to rededicate. Maybe you just need to come and say, "Hey, I've let a whole lot of other things come into my sight.
I've been more consumed and focused on other things. I need to get focused on Jesus once again. If that's your heart's desire today, He's just a prayer away. And freshly Lysoled this morning. But maybe you do want to become a member of Thomas Village. Today's that day. And I want to challenge you this. Has there ever been a time, maybe you think you're a member of Thomas Village or whatever church, but has there ever been a time that you've expressed to the pastor, walked the aisle, told one of the leaders of that church that I want to be a member here, I want to be identified as a part of this body? If you've not, praise God, we're ready. Amen. We're expecting God to do something. But today, people are dying and going to hell. It's time for us to focus on our purpose. It's time for us to realize our duty. And it's time for us to be committed to sharing the gospel, either directly or indirectly, on an everyday basis. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, in Jesus' name, I thank You for this day. Thank You for this time together. Thank You for the gospel. And I pray today it do what You see fit in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Won't you stand with me as we sing? The altar's open. Maybe you want to come pray for one of your lost friends or your lost family.
Forget tonight, 5 o'clock, Awana, and then at 6 o'clock we'll have our service here, and then deacons tomorrow night, 6 o'clock, my office, and then don't forget Tuesday, 11, prayer meeting, Wednesday, 6 p.m. here in the sanctuary. God bless you, Brother Otis.
That you're alive, you're well, you're not a dead man. You're not a dead prophet, as some said. You're alive.
Yes.
And you live in us.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
And as the song said,
Jesus.
Because you live, we live.
Yes.
So let's take that with us this week. Church, those on Facebook, we're alive because we have a risen and live Savior.
Yes.
Not a dead man, not a dead Savior, but a risen Savior.
Yes.
We thank you, Lord, and we ask you to be with us, watch over us this week, and be with our church family, be with those that are on the prayer list, those that are lost, that we could go and tell and share and baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.